Appreciate that sweet prayer. Thank the Lord for it. I, as always, ask each of you just to pray for me as I stand before you this morning. It's wonderful being able to be back here at Happy Creek today. After being away, it makes our... It could either cause you to do one of two things, get used to not being here, or cause you to long very much for being here. And it's kind of served for me just to be able to be here today, just a great, great blessing. And it's allowed me to realize how much I do need the fellowship of God's people. And I do need the gathering that we have. I need to hear from the word of the Lord. I need to sing the songs that honor and glorify God. I need this as a reminder in my life who it is that's on the throne, what our life is really all about. And with all that said, I pray the Lord would truly bless the preaching of the gospel, that we might feel his manifest presence in the preaching, that I might feel him as I stand before you, making an effort to speak, and that you would feel his presence with you as you hear the word and be able to feed on it and take something with you to carry out into this old world that will help you remember that we are not alone in this world, and that we have a God who has all power, and we have one who is our friend that we can look to no matter what, and in him always find what we need. And if we miss that part of our lives are truly empty, no matter whatever else we might attain to, no matter what we might gain, no matter how much wisdom we might get of this whole world, how much money we have in our bank accounts, how big a house or homes we might have, what power or position we might reach. If you miss the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Lord's people in this world, everything else is just vanity of vanities, really. It's empty. And sooner or later, that shows up, even if we don't see it for the moment. It will certainly let you down. You think you got it, but it won't mean anything. You think you need it, but you'll be sorry in some cases you ever had it. And all that this world holds dear, according to nature, is just fleeting. It's just here for a while, and it soon passes away. But that which is of the Lord will remain. And that's what we're here to talk about today. The eternal things of God and what the Lord has indeed done for us. So you pray for me. I'd like to read in your hearing this morning a passage of scripture that's been on my mind this weekend. It's found in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to read about 11 verses here. I'd like to go ahead and read the whole book of Philippians to you this morning. But try to focus on this third chapter and these 11 verses if the Lord continues to lead us in this, the way we feel right at the moment. Philippians chapter 3, we have the writings of the Apostle Paul unto the church at Philippi. Remember little sister Lydia was a member of the church at Philippi, and she was gathered there with others by the river where prayer was wont to be made, and a little church was called out. We got a Philippian jailer there that's at Philippi, and we know from the Acts of the Apostles about some of that. And we have a called out assembly here that the Apostle Paul had a great love for, a church at Philippi. And he's writing unto them, and not only to that little church, but by inspiration of God, the Lord so moved the Apostle Paul in writing this letter to this church that it was also part of God's word that is written to his church for today. And so not only is this church to Philippi, but this letter is to the church at Philippi, but this letter could also be said to be to the church here at Happy Creek, the church here that's gathered at Front Royal, the church wherever God has a little assembly of believers that he's called out and blessed and that are walking in the truth. This book is written to God's children, to the man of God, that we might be furnished in this old world. What a blessing that is, that we have that before us. Here in chapter 3, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And I'd like to read on, but we'll stop there. We may end up reading on, but I certainly encourage you just to take the time. It's just a very short book. It concludes in chapter 4. Go ahead and read all of the book of Philippians and study those little four short chapters. And you'll see the love that the Apostle Paul had for this body of believers. And you see the suffering that the Apostle Paul was under, the bondage he was under, and how that in that bondage he had learned to rejoice in the Lord, even in his bonds, that he considered being in bonds. I don't know of any of us who, if we ended up getting locked up or had our freedom taken away from us to where we were brought into a place of persecution for the gospel, that we could really say we'd rejoice in that. But brethren, the Apostle Paul certainly did, because he recognized his bondage still worked for the furtherance of the gospel. He was excited and thankful that though he was in bonds, it hadn't hindered the gospel. It hadn't hindered the good news. It hadn't hindered the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was even happy about those who preached Christ in order to add to his pain and suffering. He was just thankful that Christ was preached. Aren't we thankful, I hope, today that Christ is preached and we're here to hear Christ? You're not here to hear anything else. You want to hear about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want to hear the things you heard the last time that you came here and the time before that and the time before that. That same message, not a new message, not a different message, but that same sound, that same wonderful good news of a Savior who loved us so much that He died on the tree of the cross and paid a sin debt we could not pay, washing us in His own precious blood. And that is our hope of ever being with the Lord in heaven. It's our hope of Him hearing us as we pray here. It's our hope of being able to get through today and tomorrow. It's everything that we need. He is everything that we need. And that's what we want to hear about today. No other righteousness that we can gain. No other way that we can merit favor from God. Nothing we could do to add to that salvation that was complete and finished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing that we need to do or nothing that we could do, because His salvation was so wonderful and so complete, and the victory has been won. And here we meet today not to add to that work, but because He has done that work, to honor Him and to praise Him and to thank Him. And to love one another as He has shown us how to love. And to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. As sure as we do that, there will be those that hate Him who will hate you. There are those that would not want to hear that doctrine. There are those who would be enemies of the cross, enemies of the gospel. The Apostle Paul is saying here, finally, he reminds me of a good old Baptist preacher, because he says finally and then goes on to write about as much as he'd already written. As you've heard so many old Baptist preachers in the pulpit say finally, and what does that mean? Usually it means, well, that might not mean a thing, because it's about like, yeah, him looking at his watch. He's looking at it. What does that mean? Really doesn't mean a thing. He's, because he may not be done. As a matter of fact, I've known some preachers that once they close the book, they do more preaching after they have shut the book than they did. You know, sometimes it's like, well, he's closed his Bible now. You can kind of get ready. He's finally gotten to the end. And yet he may continue at that point and preach a much longer than he ever had, even while he was reading the scripture. What he's saying here is, finally, brethren, I have something to share with you that's so vitally important. And he says, my brethren, what a blessing it is to have brethren in the Lord, having those who've been called out of this world. We're not brothers and sisters by our natural relationship. And these Gentile brethren were not brothers and sisters to the Apostle Paul by natural ties or a natural relationship, but they had a kinship in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the same father. They had the same husband. They had the same brother. They had the same friend. And that friend and that brother and that husband is none other than Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And oh, there's so much in that. He's not just saying, hello, how are you doing? Hope things are going well with you. He's telling us as God's little children today that no matter where you are today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your difficulties are, no matter what your trials are, no matter what pain you might be going through, no matter what trouble you have to face in the future, whether you're at a place right now where things are going pretty well, and we do have those days, aren't you glad of that? I'm glad to have those days when things seem to go really well and really smooth. But I found that you can't count on that very long, because you can be right in the middle of one of those days and the next thing you know, have everything just seem to fall apart. Where you feel like the circumstances are going real well and you think, boy, this is, I finally got it. Everything's smoothed out. I've got to that place where I finally got to that hump. You know, I finally got over the hump and now everything's going to be okay. And you find how fleeting those times are. You be thankful when you have those times where you feel the blessings in the high times, but you also be thankful that the Lord carries you through the valleys just as sure as He carries you up on the mountaintop. And the God who's on the mountain is the same God who's in the valley and all the way in between. And if we're going to be happy today, if we're going to rejoice, we can rejoice in the Lord. And that's true no matter what. It's true at a wedding. It's true at a funeral. It's true at the birth of a child. It's true at the death, even of a child. It's true while you're living. And at the moment of death, it'll be true then. If you can rejoice at all today, there's only one place to rejoice. If you can praise today, there's only one place to give praise. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the rich man glory in his riches, nor the powerful glory in their power. But if he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knoweth me. I'm telling you today, brethren, if you know him, if he is your husband, if he is your friend, if he is your elder brother, if he is your salvation, if he's the one who's loved you in covenant, even before the foundation of the world, and has come in this world and touched your life and changed you and made a persecuting Saul, a praying Paul, and he's worked that in your life, you are a blessed character. And today, this moment, this hour, this moment, and the next moment, and every moment, may we rejoice in him. I want to rejoice in him. I want to thank him. I want to praise him. I want to look to him. Because when I look to him, I find life really worth living, don't you? My troubles don't seem to be so bad. The good times are better than they would be without him. And the bad times, you can get through them because you're looking to one who gives you the strength and the wisdom and the might to do things that you would never be able to do or ever be able to think were it not with him and for him. And brethren, it's by him that we, and through him that we move, live and move and have our being. Isn't that good? And we have a mighty God. Just think of that. the one who made the heavens and the earth. When that snow fell from the sky, there's not a one of us who could go out and say, stop. And if it had have been one of us, some of the kids would have it continuing to fall, and the parents would have stopped it immediately. Isn't that true? Listen, we don't have control over that. Every snowflake has its own design given to it by God, has its own identity. Every one of them. No two are alike. You think that's happenstance? You think it's, you know, somebody said, you just think that's chance. Some people say, well, that's just science. Well, I'm telling you about the one who made science. I'm telling you about the one who created science. I'm telling you why science is such a wonderful thing to think about. True science will acknowledge a powerful, almighty creator who made the heavens and the earth. And did it in such a powerful way, it would take a fool to deny that there was a creator by looking at this creation. That's why the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. And no matter how wise a man thinks he is, if he doesn't understand and know there's a God, he is a fool, according to the scripture. Now listen, where would we all be today if it weren't for God awakening us by his grace to that awareness? We'd be right among those fools. Maybe the biggest one of the fools. Maybe as Paul said, he felt to be the best. Paul was, and according to the scripture here, Paul was according to the natural things of men. He had the right pedigree, didn't he? He was born in the right family. He grew up in here. He said a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the stock of Israel. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. He concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. See, the Apostle Paul thought he was serving God when he was persecuting the church. He thought he was, but he wasn't. He didn't realize that to persecute God's people, and oh, we ought to keep take this in our mind and remember it. Jesus said, oh Paul, why persecutest thou me? Paul did not persecute Jesus per se, but he did persecute the Lord's people. And I'm telling you, to persecute the Lord's people is to persecute the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to think about. That's why you and I better treat one another right. I better love you like the Bible tells me to love you. I better forgive as he's taught me to forgive. I better act and behave towards you as I would towards him, because in as much as I've done it to the least of my brethren, that cry came at judgment day, and as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. That means when our brethren are in need, we ought to be willing to show them all we can and to help them all we can. And when we see the hungry and the faint and the poor, we ought not look at them and point at them and make fun of them, but we ought to help them as much as we can, because you never know. When you entertain one of them, you may be entertaining an angel unawares. Changes the way you think, doesn't it? Does me. And I'll tell you, if you know him and rejoice in him today, it'll change how you act. It'll change how you drive down the road. It'll change how you eat your meals. It'll change how you sit at a church. I heard one time this week someone talking about church and how the church was just so boring, and how church, you had to, when you get to church, you spend an hour and it just seemed like it would never pass, as if church has got, and in this world, so many people think church is something that's over. It's out of date. You need to have more. Listen, these little times that I've spent among God's children, sitting on a church bench or even in the pulpit, and I've felt his presence, have been the most valuable and important times in my life. Because it's allowed me to see and understand all the other stuff in the clarity of the light of God's word. So that I don't get caught up in all the stuff of this world. You can get caught up in stuff, can't you? You can get caught up in getting stuff, accumulating stuff. And the only thing I've learned about accumulating stuff, eventually you gotta do something with all that stuff. And so you think, well, I gotta, you know, like the man said, I got all these goods. What am I gonna do with these goods? Well, I'm just gonna have to tear down my barns and build bigger barns, because, you know, I got this stuff. I gotta put it all together. And he was worried. His stuff had him, didn't it? Did stuff have you? Sometimes it can have us. Remember this, brethren. Don't say, it's nothing wrong with, the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money, but it said the love of it. And the love of stuff. You can't serve both God and mammon. The Bible says that. We have to remember that all of these things, and we are greatly blessed, but remember those blessings came from the Lord. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. And if you understand and know Him, if you have food and raiment, He said, be there with content. And godliness with contentment is great gain. And what doth it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Some people say, oh, I got this and that. What are you going to do with it? I'll tell you what. Without fellowship with God, you got an empty life. And at death, you're cast away eternally. That's empty. But if you know Him, and if you know Him, it's because He first knew you. If you love Him, it's because He first loved you. If you choose Him, it's because He first chose you. If you have fellowship with Him, it's because in before the very foundation of the world, He saw you and He loved you. And you would be right there among the in the ignorance of this world were it not for the Lord who showed you something different. And the most valuable times I've spent is when I'm hearing about that, talking about that, singing about that, having fellowship with that. And there's no place that happens like the Lord's house when we gather together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why He said not to forsake this. A month away from it has allowed me to see how much I need it. Had one little sister write me an email. And she said, I'll tell you what, if I don't soon get to church, I'm not going to be fit to live with. And I understood what she was talking about. She said, I need to hear again how I'm supposed to think, don't you? I need to remember Jesus. I want to remember Him every day. I'm here reminding you, and you're reminding me of how much we need Him. I need Him. You need Him. I want you to rejoice in Him. I want you to rejoice today when things are going good. And when things are going bad, you still rejoice in Him because it really seems bad, but it's not so bad. While you're living in this world, Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And He's right there through whatever you go through. And even when you come to that last hour, that hour the world fears so much, and you're about to leave this world, you can say with the hymn writer, come farewell vain world, I'm going home, my Savior bids me come. And write how sweet to die. You won't hear that everywhere in the world. You'll hear it in old Baptist churches. I'll tell you what, a dose of that on some of these television shows would probably empty the Coliseum. What are we going to sing first? How sweet to die. Oh, what kind of positive message is that? I'm telling you, it's the most positive message you can sing in this world. For to me to live is Christ, that's what the Apostle Paul said. But then he went on to say, and to die is what? Gain. Somebody said your only deliverance comes when you're healed physically. Listen, there's all kinds of healing going on in this world. Some of it's physical, but sometimes the Lord sees fit to give you a better resurrection, a better healing. He says, this world is no longer fit. It's time to leave this old world. Aren't you glad there's going to be a time for all of us? The Apostle Paul was looking for that. He was hoping to attain to that. Not that he gained it, but that he would get to that point. If by any means he'd get to that point, that he would enjoy the resurrection. And he wasn't talking about just any of the resurrection. You know there's going to be a resurrection of everybody. There's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. Paul wasn't looking forward to a resurrection of the unjust. He was hoping and praying for the resurrection of the just. He was hoping and praying to be on His right hand, aren't you? He was hoping and praying that when he saw Jesus, he would see Him in His love and in His mercy and not His judgment. He understood that I'm deserving of His judgment, but because Jesus died and paid the sin debt, He'll come and gather me in His love and He'll gather me out of this old troubled world. And though I'm worthy of eternal wrath, He will not show me that wrath. And he had a trust in that. You can't read anybody more assured about that than the Apostle Paul. He spoke of that sweet hope of when the Lord would return, that he'd be gathered with Him, body, soul, and spirit, forever with the Lord. Kind of gotten ahead of myself. May not get back on track, but that's okay. He said this. He said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. What he's really telling them here is you watch out for those who come to you that seem to be ministers of the gospel, that seem to be preaching the truth, that seem to be telling the truth, but their words do not line up with the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their message is not grace, but it's grace mixed with works, or it's works altogether. And if the message is not altogether grace, it's not the true message. If it's not grace, salvation completely by grace. If you add one work to the grace, you got too much work, and it's no longer grace. It's either by grace or it's by works. And if you add one work to the grace, it ceases to be grace. It becomes works. And grace is grace. Oh, thank God for grace. Grace begins it. Grace is in between and grace ends it. Grace is what saves us and quickens us in the beginning. It is by His grace that we live and we move and we have our being. It's by grace that we'll be able to die. If His grace would ever fail us for one moment, we'd be cast away. And the Apostle Paul said, you beware of anyone who's a dog, who is a teaching and an evil worker, who is teaching anything but that grace, salvation by grace, preaching anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, there were those who rose up among them who went back under Judaism and under the law of circumcision and said, they just added this, that the Gentiles must be circumcised physically in order to be saved eternally. The Apostle Paul said, you beware of them. They said they're apostles, but they're not. Just because a man says he's a preacher doesn't mean that he is. Just because a man says that he's teaching the Word of God doesn't mean that he is. He may be well-intentioned, but he may be wrong. He may think he's on the right track. He may know he's not on the wrong track and simply be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Are there wolves in sheep's clothing? Absolutely. The Bible teaches that there are. Are there others who are deceived by them, who feel that they're right, think that they're right, but they're wrong? Absolutely, they are. Could they even carry the name Old Baptist? Absolutely, they could. And what are we saying here? That means when a man stands before you, you never judge him according to the flesh. You simply listen to what he's teaching, and if it lines up with God's Word, that means we must be diligently searching God's Word and seeing that the things that are being taught are so, and if it lines up with God's Word and it gives God the glory and it's a message of grace, you receive it, you believe it, but you beware of dogs. You beware of the concision. The concision is simply talking about those who are advocates of physical circumcision who are trying to teach and to lead them off out of grace unto works. And listen, we got a world full of preachers who are taking you from grace and trying to bring you unto works. And some add this, and some add that, and some add some other thing. But if you add anything, you add too much. Y'all believe that, don't you? You ought to act like it. I mean, we believe that. Isn't that what we believe? Salvation is of the Lord. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. For God doeth it that men should fear before Him. I can't add anything to my eternal salvation. And I'll tell you this, there's nothing I can do in time that obligates God to do anything for me. All I simply do is listen to what God has told me to do and when I've done what He has told me to do, then I'm to say this, I am but a what? An unprofitable servant. I've simply done that which is my duty to do. And somebody said, oh, that's terrible to be living like that under that. Now let me tell you, the servant of the Lord is the freest person in this world. The one who believes the truth, if you know the truth, then you're set free by the truth. I'm telling you, there's a liberty and a peace and a rest that comes and a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ to feel His presence, to walk with Him and talk with Him and feel that you are. Listen, He's my husband. That means I am to be submissive unto Him as my husband, as part of the bride of Christ. He is my Father. That means I am to listen to Him as my Father. He is my Lord. That means He is Lord. He said, why calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He has called us to not only praise Him as a Savior, but to follow Him as our Lord. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, all that stuff I used to think was so important, I just count it but dung. You know, sometimes I still want to pull in a thing or two as still being important. What's really important to us? Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure today? Is it here in this world? Then the moths can eat it up. You know, the thief can come get your treasure. He can steal, knock you. If it's in your house, he can come in there while you're gone here at church and break in your home. And I don't care what kind of lock. You know, I got some deadbolts on the house. And, you know, the house really isn't that much more secure. It just keeps honest men honest to put locks on your doors. Those who want to get in, coming in anyway. And they'll take what you have. And if it's gone, is that your treasure that they took? I'm telling you, I believe we have a greater treasure than that, don't you? My treasure is not in the stuff that I have. I'm thankful to have it. I don't want to misuse what, I want to be a good steward of what God has given me. But I'll tell you, the Lord giveth. As Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, to have Him and a fellowship with Him and the promises of Him being with me, whatever comes in this world from now until death, and even at death, I'll see His face and leave this old world saying how sweet to die. What more could you ask for today, brethren? How rich are you? You know, the old Baptist church, they'll tell you you're poor and rotten and no good, and in the same moment, they'll tell you you're rich, and you are rich. You're poor. Be poor in the spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And he says, for we are his. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are his, are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit. Now, if you didn't believe in circumcision, why is he talking about circumcision? He's not talking about the circumcision in the flesh, which was under the old law covenant, a picture of that circumcision that was going to come, which happens where? It happens in your heart. Every little child of God circumcised in their heart. That when they're born of the Spirit, you're circumcised in your heart. He does a heart transplant. He doesn't leave a scar. You know, if you had some heart work, there's usually an evidence of that by a scar. But I'm telling you, when the Lord works on the inside, He takes that hard and stony heart. And He removes that hard and stony heart and gives you a heart of flesh. He gives you a heart of understanding. You're able then to know the things of God. You cease to be a fool when you have the wisdom of God. He's taken up His abode in your heart. And you're able to know things you couldn't know before and believe things you couldn't believe before. If He's done that work in you, you are a circumcision, not made of hands, but that which He has done, the work of the Lord. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Today we come to worship the Lord in the Spirit. We want to sing in the Spirit. We want to pray in the Spirit. We want to have fellowship with one another in the Spirit. I want to look over you as my brothers and sisters in the Spirit. Not to see you in the flesh. Not even my wife, as much as I love her in the flesh. Our relationship in the Lord is not to be in the flesh. It's to be as we have a relationship that exceeds even our natural relationship of husband and wife. And that's brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's a higher relationship. Oh, what a great love that is. No better love can you have than to have that wonderful love that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ and with all of God's children because of Jesus. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. That means all glory is given to the Lord. And have no confidence in the flesh. Now, how much confidence are we supposed to have in the flesh? He said none, right? That means none. Are you like me sometimes? Oh, you think, well, I think I can handle that part. I can take this on, Lord. Just, you know, I know that I'll turn most things over, but I think I can handle this. That, you know, or you ask the Lord what to do and then take it upon yourself to go ahead and do what you thought you ought to do anyway and hope the Lord, or even ask, tell the Lord, this is what I'm doing. Please bless what I'm doing, rather than saying, Lord, I don't know. Lord, help me not lean on my own understanding. Lord, help me trust in Thee. I need to trust in Him for every single thing. Everything. I need to trust in Him for the food that's on my table, the clothes that's on my back, the job that I'm working at. As I go out into this world, sometimes we think, well, I'll trust Him for church. And as a minister, sometimes I'll say, I'll trust Him when it comes time to preach the gospel. Because I've learned, I cannot preach the gospel without Him. I cannot. And without His presence in a church meeting, it's cold. And it is dull. I mentioned how a meeting could be cold and dull. But if you had an hour without the Lord, it would be cold and dull. But I'll tell you, when you have His presence, you could go hour after hour and you don't want to leave. Have you found that to be the difference? Have you seen the difference? You come to a meeting and sometimes you feel so dry and cold and the meeting seems so long. And other times you go like, what happened to the time? He quit so early. Other times you feel like, is he ever going to stop? What's the difference? Sometimes it's the Lord with the preacher and sometimes it's the Lord with you. I'm telling you, when you open this book and you're able to read a few verses like what's written here, and you understand how good it is to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, to know about Jesus, how good is that today? To not just know about Him, but to know Him, to feel He is your Jesus, to feel that He is your Lord, that He is your friend, that you have communion with Him, that when He died on the cross, it was for you. And when He comes again, He'll come for you. When He calls you out of this old world, He'll call you. And when He comes back, He'll come get your body. The Apostle Paul said, to have that excellency, all the other stuff, all my pedigree. And Paul had a pedigree. See, a lot of people think they got a pedigree and they ain't got that much. Have you ever noticed? Some of the people that think they got the most don't really have that much. They just got to act like they got a lot. See, the Apostle Paul said, if anybody has something to boast in, I got it. I was born in the right place. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I knew my lineage. Listen, those of the children of Israel thought they belonged to God and had a special favor with God because of their natural lineage. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to count all that but dung. Sometimes we even get the idea, I'm an old Baptist because my mama was an old Baptist, or my daddy was an old Baptist, or my grandparents was old Baptist. I'm an 8th generation old Baptist. Listen, old Baptists aren't that way. I'll tell you who they are. They're the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind and the weak and the faltering and the stumbling. The poor of this world, the outcast of this world. They're the ones that were. It wasn't the Pharisees that Jesus came to. It was the poor sinners that were lost and undone who were made sensible sinners and chose, and by the grace of God came to hear the voice of Jesus say, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. You walk different. You act different. You talk different because of me. Matthew, who was a tax collector, even robbing his own people, was called to be an apostle. Fishermen who love fishing were called from the nets to go be fishers of men. The poor and those who were not trained in the teaching places of this world were considered to be those who would be ignorant. And yet the wisest of those men said, what men are these that speak like this? I'll tell you what, they had met the master teacher, hadn't they? If your master teacher is your friend and you're the one who's guiding you, you have wisdom that this world does not know about, young or old. I'm telling you, to know Him. You lean on Him. You trust Him. You depend on Him. You get in trouble, you look to Him. And if you look to Him and lean on Him, He'll keep you out of a lot of the trouble. He'll keep you out of the trouble of this world. And as He leads you, sometimes He might lead you. You know, somebody, do you believe the Lord may lead you into a trouble? Oh, I'm telling you, He led the disciples into a sea that was contrary to them. He led His children many times into places that were very hard and very difficult. You know why? Because they had lessons to learn. And one of those greatest lessons is that the Lord will be with me no matter what. Sometimes you think just because I'm in this trouble, I must not be in the will of God. A lot of times God's children in the midst of trouble because they're walking in the will of God. Preachers get locked up because they're walking in the will of God. Even the Apostle Paul and others gave their very lives in obedience to the will of God. He said, finally, no. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I got more. He says, I'm more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel and of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, he's not talking about getting Christ for the first time. Christ came to him. The Apostle Paul wasn't looking for Christ when Christ came to him. He was looking to persecute anyone who named the name of Christ. But the Lord knocked him down, didn't he? Put him right in his place. Blinded him and then opened his eyes. Brought him to the place that he was very, very thankful that the Lord would have dealings with such a person as he was. He said this, but above everything in our life, the most important, the most wonderful thing that we have is our fellowship with the Lord. And I got a few verses here that need another whole long time, and I'm not going to take it right now. I hope and pray that something we've said has been a benefit to you this morning. If it has, you give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory for that, because all the glory belongs to the Lord. And if there be anything that's amiss, well, you know who to blame that on. That's not the Lord. That's me. And cover that in your charity and pray for me that the Lord would bless us to rightly divide the word of truth and be faithful to Him. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
I love you, my brother. God bless you.